Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on podcast health. That's where you should get all your podcasts about health, or of course, iHeart or thebestradiomd.com. That's the forerunner to podcast health. We, as usual, are brought to you by LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and, if you will, Dye Rescue. That's really good when you switch doses and up doses of one of the GLP-1s. Go to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials that show those data. And, of course, ForYoungevity.com, where you can sign up for the free newsletter, even test the AI nurse who can coach on preventive health. It's under test now. That's at ForYoungevity.com. Sign up for the free newsletter. Our guest today is Dr. Johnson, who's going to talk to us about eye movements and post-traumatic stress disorder. Dr. Johnson is located at summitpsychological.net, which is in Uplands, California. That's summitpsychological.net. Dr. Johnson, tell us about what is the definition of post-traumatic stress disorder?
Post-traumatic stress disorder is, the way I look at it as a clinician, is the inability for somebody who's undergone a traumatic event to turn off their fight, flight, or freeze response.
And is there a degree of traumatic event, or that can differ among people?
It can differ among people. I get clients that they have undergone traumatic events, but they don't consider them to be trauma because they think that only somebody that's gone to war or somebody that has had sexual trauma can get PTSD, but that isn't true. Car accidents, medical complications in the hospital are a couple other examples that can be very traumatic for people and can cause somebody to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder.
And now, when did someone get the idea that eye movements or eye movement training may help this?
Janine Chappelle, she discovered this. She was a therapist and she had some things that she was working through. And she found that by walking and looking to the left and to the right, for some reason, it made her feel better. And now it's been since the 90s, so almost 30 years at this point, that the neurological research is showing the benefits of it and how it works on a neurological level by engaging, by looking all the way to the left and all the way to the right. You're engaging both the left and right somatosensory cortex, which helps keep that part of the brain online so that the limbic system can actually process the emotional trauma of the memory and help the hippocampus recognize that it's no longer happening now and can help process that into long-term memory. So then there's not that negative emotional affect tied to that memory anymore. It's more like, oh, that's not happening now. That happened 20 years ago or 5 years ago. Put some distance between the emotions of it and the memory.
And does time alone help it? Or in other words, we've heard that many people carry the PTSD symptoms for many, many years. So time alone doesn't help them. Is it time alone or is it changing the brain's perception of time?
It's changing the brain's perception of time. So again, like we have veterans that are coming back and returning to civilian life, and veterans tend to have delayed onset post-traumatic stress disorder. So it isn't until much later that they recognize and develop the symptoms of PTSD. And then some of the symptoms, you may not even recognize it. It just becomes so much a part of your day-to-day that you don't even recognize that you're hypervigilant. You may not even recognize the negative mood or cognitions. It just is what it is kind of perspective, unfortunately, when it doesn't have to be that way.
And at Summit Psychological, and we're talking to Dr. Johnson, whose website is summitpsychological.net, It's not a .com, it's a .net. At Summit Psychological, do you go through and train patients on how to do this? And do they walk at the same time? Can they do it on a treadmill? Is it in nature, or can they do it just standing or sitting at a desk?
Actually, from the originator of this type of therapy, it has moved to, we know that there's three ways to engage the somatosensory cortex, which is soma meaning body, sensory senses. So if I hit my left arm, the right side of my brain lights up on my somatosensory cortex. If I hit my right arm, the left side lights up. It's called contralateral representation. So we have tactile that we can alternate, which I have tactile buzzers that alternate one in the left hand, one in the right, which engages the top part of the somatosensory cortex. You can use the eye movement, which is what the therapy is based on, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So if I keep my head completely forward and I look all the way to the left without moving my face, the right side of my somatosensory cortex lights up. If I look all the way to the right, the left side lights up. We also have auditory, so headphones that could alternate sounds in either ear. I've never used that one. I've only used the eye movements and the tactile. So if somebody comes to the office, they're very comfortable. I could sit in front of them and they would follow my fingers all the way to the left and all the way to the right. I very rarely do this anymore unless somebody's trauma is so traumatic that they can't even close their eyes or to do the tactile. So when they're doing the tactile, I have them close their eyes, pull up the memory, and we process the memory that way. But if it's too traumatic, then I'll use my fingers and do the alternating eye movements to process that.
And what about the walking that you described before? Should they be on a treadmill, or is that not beneficial?
No. That's how the founder of this therapy discovered it. She was actually surprised that by walking and looking to the left and looking to the right, that the memories were no longer as intense. And so then she further developed the treatment into recognizing that if I have my client in front of me and I have their eyes move all the way to the left and to the right, then we can do that therapy in session. So while walking is good, don't get me wrong, I will never say that it isn't. That's not the therapy. That's just how she discovered it. And then from there, research has been shown and it's an amazing evidence-based form of treatment at this point, 30 years later. But that's how she discovered it.
And what percent of people get better with it?
I don't have those statistics right off the top of my head. However, I am trained in cognitive behavioral therapy, trauma-focused. I'm trained in 6-7 other theoretical approaches. And with EMDR, it gets to the root of the issue and it...
So wait a second. We got to define EMDR. EMDR is...
Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. With other forms of therapy, it usually takes an incredibly long time. Sometimes, unfortunately, the trauma doesn't ever get resolved. With other forms of therapy, there's a really high dropout rate, such as with like exposure therapy. There's a very high dropout rate. Whereas in comparison, EMDR, it's a much more efficient, it's faster, you process the memories a lot faster, you actually process the roots of the issues and it doesn't come back. So the symptoms don't come back in regards to whatever that trauma is that you're working on. It actually files it away into long-term memory.
Now, I have a patient who got fired from a job that person loved. And it became a very traumatic event for that person. And they're still dealing with that stress. Would this type of therapy help them as well?
Yes, it would. So EMDR, I use it for trauma, yes. But I also use it for getting to the roots of things. So negative beliefs. So we all have negative beliefs, such as I'm not good enough, I'm not safe, I can't show my emotions, I should have known better. So when I do therapy, I actually have a huge list of all these negative cognitions and I have my clients circle every single one that they've ever thought of. And then I break it down and we actually get to the top three strongest negative cognitions, the ones that are really the ones that hit you in the gut when you read them. And what I do is I find the neuronal network for these negative beliefs. So when was the earliest, the first time you felt this way? What's the worst time you felt this way? And what's the most recent? And what happens is now we have some memories down this neuronal network. They're all tied to that negative cognition. And I will clean those out. I will clean the negative affect from those memories out with EMDR. So now, let's say, and I've done EMDR myself, it works. So I tell my clients, if I failed today for the first time in my entire life, knowing my personality, I'd dust myself off, look left, look right, and be like, what? That sucked. I don't want to do that again. But the likelihood that I failed today for the first time is non-existent. So if I do fail today, it's not just the incident today. It's all of those memories on that I'm a failure network that light up and then fuel how I now respond to that failure today. Because if it would have been the first time, wouldn't have been that big of a deal. So what we do is we clean out. I also clean out negative cognition neuronal networks. So not just trauma, but EMDR works on clearing out some of these so that you can actually have a much more successful, happier life.
It almost sounds like all of us should undergo that, since I think everyone's had negative events that have affected them.
Exactly. So when I say that therapy isn't just for somebody that has severe depression or has trauma, therapy can be where you're seeking self-actualization and you're doing it to clear out anything that's been swept under the rug that's causing you, maybe even unconsciously, to act and do things that you wouldn't have otherwise done had you cleared out all of the negative memories for that negative cognition. It's going to set you up for better success and a more happy life.
Got it. So now you practice this at summitpsychological.net. Is this commonly practiced? And so people obviously in Uplands, California, can take advantage of that at summitpsychological.net. But are there other places where this occurs?
There are. So I would always recommend to your listeners to go to the emdria.org website.
Say it again.
Emdria, it's EMDRIA.org. And you're going to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. It's going to give you an option where you can type in your zip code. And you can, it'll show you all of the actual certified EMDR clinicians in your area. And they're the gold standard. So emdria.org, to get certified as an EMDR clinician is quite extensive. So I would always recommend going to somebody who's actually got the certification through Emdria. And they can help, one, process anything that's causing the severe depression, causing the post-traumatic stress disorder, or somebody who's just looking to say, you know what, I'm really tired of feeling like I'm not good enough, or I'm really tired of not being able to show my emotions or feel like I can't show my emotions. So clearing out those negative beliefs so that you can live a more happy life.
And now, so the great news is that this is probably available to almost everyone in the country, meaning there are practitioners throughout the country, as you say. And you can actually, in California, I assume in near Uplands, but maybe in all of California, you can go to summitpsychological.net and find out more about this technique, eye movement. Tell me again what the DR stands for.
It's eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy.
Great. We've been talking with Dr. Johnson about EMDR, and it's opened my eyes to a new therapy. I hope it has yours. I guess opened eyes and looking right and left while keeping your face straight is one of the ways to help you. But obviously, getting to the memories and getting with a psychiatrist and psychologist who is certified to do this seems like the right thing. Thank you very much, Dr. Johnson. We're brought to you, as usual, by Life First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue, as well as foryoungevity.com. Go to those two websites and enjoy the randomized double-blind studies that you'll see at For Longevity on the appropriate supplements to take, as well as the appropriate strategies for living longer. One of them may well be EMDR if you've got post-traumatic stress disorder. And go to lifefirstnaturals.com to learn more about Truebiotics, bovine colostrum, and dye rescue. Luke, thank you for engineering. And of course, thank you, Dr. Johnson, but especially thank the 50,000 or so of you who download us every week. Remember, Podcast Health is where to get your information. This is your host, Dr. Mike Roizen, signing off. See you next week, I hope.